Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening with the Highland Radio News at 5:30. I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at today's headlines. Éisce Éireann says overnight restrictions on water usage will remain in place in Donegal for the next 7 days. Letterkenny Milford Municipal District has discussed a motion that the old courthouse be named after Frank Grimes. A Derry man who developed anorexia as a teenager says YouTube has long struggled to protect young people from harmful eating disorder content. And a Donegal councillor says the period around the 12th of July should be treated as a major event in the county. These stories in full and more coming up, and we'll have a full update of all the sport with Oisin at around 5:45. But first, Éisce Éireann says overnight restrictions on water usage will remain in place across Donegal for the next 7 days. The utility says that it is necessary in a number of locations to protect daytime supplies and allow treated water reservoirs to recharge. With more, here's Katie Gallagher.
In the Lochmoran Water Supply Zone, restrictions will run from 8pm until 8am. Customers in Crossroads, Convoy, Lifford and Rossgear may experience low water pressure or interruptions. On the Gertahirk Fulcara Supply, restrictions will apply from 10pm until 7am and may affect customers in Maharaurorty, Derrynconner, Fulcara and Gertahirk. The Letterkenny Ward Public Water Supply will also have restrictions from 10pm until 7am to help maintain reservoir levels and protect daytime supplies. On the Chrysler Dunfanaghy supply, restrictions will be in place from 10pm to 7am and customers may notice reduced pressure. And on the Ballyshannon public water supply, restrictions will run from 10pm to 7am with possible disruption for customers in Rosnaula, Ardeelin and Carrickfad.
Letterkenny Milford Municipal District has discussed a motion that the old courthouse be named after Frank Grimes, the founder of the Four Lanterns chain. Councillor Michael McBride moved the motion, citing Mr Grimes' contribution to Letterkenny. However, officials asked that a decision be deferred while consultants review the marketing and branding of the project. Donal Kavanagh has this report from Letterkenny Public Services Centre.
Proposing the motion, Councillor Michael McBride said since 1971, Frank Grimes and his family employed hundreds of people over the years with 12 restaurants and 350 employees at the peak of the success of the Four Lanterns. He said Frank Grimes was a generous sponsor of many community and sporting events and teams, and naming the courthouse development after him would be an appropriate way of honouring his legacy. Officials pointed out that consultants working on the project have marketing and branding as part of their brief, and this decision will be conveyed to them. They also stressed this is a regional project that goes beyond Letterkenny. They added, the intention is that the old courthouse become a destination experience in its own right, and there is concern that naming the Letterkenny courthouse after a significant local figure might not convey this message. Councillor McBride said he would leave his motion on the table, and no counter-motion was proposed. Councillor Kieran Brogan pointed out that a workshop some weeks ago had discussed the issue at length in what he termed an honest manner, and he was disappointed to see the issue brought before the members today.
A Derry man who developed anorexia as a teenager says YouTube has long struggled to protect young people from harmful eating disorder content. New research by the Centre for Countering Digital Hate claims the platform is still recommending what they call thinspiration videos and extreme calorie restriction content to teenage users, despite stricter online safety rules in the UK and EU. Researchers repeated a 2024 investigation using simulated accounts of 13-year-old girls in the US, UK and Europe. While they found YouTube had expanded its eating disorder safety measures, they say those protections are still applied inconsistently. Content creator Connor Doherty says the issues with YouTube are nothing new.
Honestly, from my own personal experience as a teenager using YouTube, like when I was a teenager, YouTube was in its prime. It's where you went for all your videos. We didn't have like TikTok and Instagram wasn't completely massive then. Like, I feel like it's been happening for a long period of time, because while I was struggling, all the content that I was watching online was that, like, what I eat in a day, a calorie deficit, like those kind of things. And they can be seriously, seriously detrimental to young people and to their mental health. And they just kind of feel that need to lose weight, which I think is so toxic at the minute.
I suppose it's different on TikTok. It's, I suppose, coming at you at a much faster and larger volume of videos.
I actually worked alongside TikTok last year to work on their algorithm to protect young people and to find a way to monitor the eating disorder content so that it can be done in a creative, like a way that's fair to the creators, but also protects young people and protects who's actually viewing that kind of stuff. I feel like it has a massive impact regardless of what you post. Like I speak very openly and freely online about my experience with anorexia, but I do it in a way that I make sure there's no triggering content there, but always before the video starts, there is a disclaimer so that you can swipe on, because it can be very, very easy for any type of like video platform like Instagram, TikTok, YouTube to see you watch one of those videos and then it opens up a full rabbit hole.
A Donegal councillor says the period around the 12th of July should be treated as a major event in the county. Declan Meehan was speaking on today's Greg Hughes Show following reports of dangerous driving, public order incidents and other issues in Downings over the weekend. He says local Gardaí were under significant pressure and did not have the resources to respond to everything happening due to the large crowds gathered in the area. Councillor Meehan believes that when major crowds are expected, a dedicated response plan should be in place.
Realistically, the issue here is the Gardaí didn't have sufficient resources in place to conduct a proper policing operation. And that is very evident from what happened over the course of the weekend. We have seen very, very successful policing operations in this county, most notably over the course of the Donegal Rally, where the council and Gardaí work hand in hand to very successfully police a major event. Now, my understanding from speaking to the guards is that the weekend of the 12th of July is not recognised as a major event in County Donegal, and so additional resources are not as readily available. And that is the first thing that needs to change here. We have a huge increase in the population of this county over that holiday weekend in the north, resulting in lots and lots and lots of people coming into the county, absolutely hugely expanding the population of many towns. And the best example or worst example, whatever way you want to look at it, of that is Downings, unfortunately. There were countless calls, I'm sure, put into Milford Garda Station, and I know because people have contacted me to say that they were putting those calls in relation to public order offences of every single sort. I mean, they range from public urination to potential drink driving to physical assaults that were taking place over the course of the weekend. And the Gardaí simply did not have the resources in place.
Glenveagh Castle is set to open on Fridays again after approval was given to fill two vacant positions at the National Park. The Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage has confirmed that recruitment can begin for the roles, which will help address staffing shortages at Glenveagh National Park. Visitor numbers at the park have increased significantly in recent years, but Glenveagh Castle has been unable to open on Mondays and Fridays due to staff shortages. A competition to create a new recruitment panel will begin in August, with interviews expected to take place in late September. It's hoped that two successful candidates will join the team shortly afterwards, allowing Glenveagh Castle to reopen to visitors on Fridays. Minister Charlie McConlogue says it's just a part of efforts ongoing to support the park.
That is a welcome step and it's much needed, and I'll continue to work now with Minister Sullivan as well in terms of trying to see staff further enhanced at Glenveagh National Park. I think there's wonderful work being done there by all the team under the leadership of Emmett Johnson. It's the most important tourism resource in our county. It's really important that it has the staff it needs to be able to operate at full capacity, and this confirmation now that two staff will be filled as soon as possible is very welcome.
And it seems to be sort of one step in a larger plan to see improvements across Glenveagh. The Glenveagh National Park Visitor Experience Development Plan was launched last year, and there's an updated version due now with public consultation just remaining open now to Monday coming.
The conclusion of the new visitor experience plan is going to be important in terms of ensuring it develops into the future. It is important alongside that we make sure that the staffing complement is there to be able to make sure that that both people locally and tourists coming in can avail of the full experience at Glenveagh National Park, including access to the castle any time that they visit there.
A Donegal TD has called on the Agriculture Minister to introduce supports for farm and agricultural buildings affected by defective concrete. Deputy Charles Ward claims that defective concrete was used across rural Ireland in farm sheds, milking parlours, storage units, boundary walls and slurry tanks. He says slurry tanks built with defective material are beginning to crack, weaken and fail, posing an environmental risk. Deputy Ward adds that farmers feel left behind.
There are schemes for homes, but there's absolutely nothing for farmers. And farmers are effectively left on their own. And they're having a tremendously difficult time. And the gap for policy is becoming more visible for more the more rural farmers are coming into this. They feel abandoned. And what are we going to do to address this gap? Because it is increasingly growing.
In response, Minister Martin Hayden says there are supports available.
Whether it's farmers with particular issues and that are leading to environmental issues or issues with structures or beyond that need to be replaced, beyond the capital support, and we're very lucky to have it in agriculture. It's something I really believe in, is our TAM structure, is that Target Agricultural Modernisation Scheme. Because for me, it gets to the heart of generation renewal, but it also, as I say, hits those issues of climate, environment and animal welfare. The scheme is demand-led, entirely voluntary for farmers, but the measures provide grants for capital investment in physical assets to assist the Irish agriculture sector to respond to a range of policy challenges. And the measures and grant aid available for the qualified applicants, there's 11 different headings for TAMS. So like, this is what exists at the minute. And it, as I say, it's hugely oversubscribed and there's massive demand for it, even though it's secured during the period 23 to 27 there's 370 million. There's 11 different headings there. I won't list them out now because the time is up, but under which capital investments can be made on farms that are available to all farmers, including in Donegal.
Women who suffer an early miscarriage will be entitled to paid leave for the first time. Cabinet has approved legislation brought forward by Enterprise Minister Peter Burke. Under the proposals, women who lose a pregnancy before 23 weeks gestation will be entitled to 5 days paid leave. Minister Burke says he hopes the move will help make workplaces more compassionate for women experiencing miscarriages.
We're very keen to put forward any support we can in those traumatic circumstances. And critically, this will be one support. And I know there are so many areas that we have to improve upon, but I think this is a small step in the right direction. Hopefully it will accelerate those discussions and that we all can be a more compassionate workforce.
Over 1,200 businesses in Donegal, Leitrim and Sligo benefited from an upskilling initiative last year. Skillnet Ireland says their project for business networks aims to develop skills, improve competitiveness and prepare for the future. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
According to Skillnet Ireland's annual report, more than 35,000 training days were delivered across Donegal, Leitrim and Sligo last year. Men accounted for 55% of those who took part in training, while women made up the remaining 45%. The highest level of participation came from people between age 30 and 39. The report also found that 96% of participating businesses across the three counties were small and medium-sized enterprises. Most operated in the agricultural sector, followed by the services and construction industries.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports. Find all your GA essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:45 here in Highland Radio and it's time to go over to the sports desk and say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Ryan. We start with international football. Assistant manager John O'Shea says that Seamus Coleman remains a huge asset to the Republic of Ireland national team. Coleman was a key figure in this year's World Cup qualification campaign, but he's weighing up his club future after leaving Everton. O'Shea is waiting to see what Coleman's next step will be.
Maybe there could be clubs interested in him and he doesn't want to move that far away, or he doesn't want to move here or to a different country or whatever the case may be. Let's just wait and see, but he's definitely a huge asset to the team, playing-wise first and foremost, and then we'll see after that.
The World Cup reaches the semi-final stage tonight with two European heavyweights going head-to-head for a place in Sunday's decider. European champion Spain take on 2022 runners-up France and Dallas. It's a repeat of the last four clash at Euro 2024, which Spain won 2-1. Kick-off tonight in Texas is at 8 o'clock. Shamrock Rovers are in Champions League qualifier action this evening. Stephen Bradley's side play the home leg of their tie against Serenia, having lost the reverse fixture 2-0 in Malta last week. Midfielder Matt Healy misses the game through suspension, but captain Pico Lopez has returned from the World Cup and could start in this evening's tie, which kicks off at the Talas Stadium at 8 o'clock. At the same time, Larne play the second leg of their qualifier against Trey Afori. The Irish League side hold a 1-0 lead from the first leg in San Marino. Cross-channel transfer news, and Arsenal have confirmed that winger Leandro Trossard is moving to Turkish side Besiktas. He's travelling to Istanbul for a medical ahead of completing the switch in a deal worth around £17 million. Trossard scored 8 goals last season as Arsenal won the Premier League and finished Champions League runner-up. Manchester United have confirmed the signing of goalkeeper Carl Darlow from Leeds on a free transfer. The Wales international signed a two-year contract. It's the second signing in 24 hours at Old Trafford following the arrival of Brazilian Andre Santos for £48 million from Chelsea. Brighton have signed Croatia defender Luka Vasković from Tottenham for a club record fee of €54 million. He signed a five-year contract with the option of a further year. Vasković joined Spurs in 2025 from Hajduk Split after agreeing a deal with the Premier League club 2 years earlier. He was sent out on loan to Hamburg, made 30 appearances for the German club last season and also scored 6 goals in the Bundesliga. To horse racing, Donegal jockey Dylan Brown McMonagall is in France this evening. He has 2 rides in Longchamp, including the Group 1 Grand Prix de Paris, where he is on board the Joseph O'Brien-trained Limestone. Luke McAteer, who just like Dylan Brown McMonagall, was one of 3 Donegal winners yesterday, is also riding again this evening in Killarney, County Kerry. Well, it is Open Week in golf. 27-year-old cystic fibrosis sufferer David Hard from County Cork qualified for this week's Open Championship at Royal Birkdale through the local and regional qualifiers. Howard, who takes 25 to 30 tablets a day for the disease, is using his participation in the Open to raise awareness of cystic fibrosis. David, who tees off at 22:11 on Thursday morning, played a practice round yesterday with Shane Lowry, Padraig Harrington and Stuart Greenham, and said his Open participation is an incredible experience.
Just hard to put into words, not getting into Irish Championships a couple of years ago to being here on the range at the Open is hard to believe. It came on quick after the final qualifying in Dundonald. I didn't have much time to think with playing Interpros for Munster and playing Breton Shield for Foda only a couple of days ago to here we are all of a sudden, but no, it's great.
To Gaelic Games, Mayo manager Andy Moran has predicted that goal line technology could be introduced in Gaelic football as soon as next year. Dublin boss Ger Brennan called for video refereeing in the sport following a number of controversial decisions in their All-Ireland semi-final defeat to Kerry. Moran reckons the use of hockey at Croke Park already means the technology will automatically come in for 2027. And finally in rugby, Jeremy Loughman and Rob Bellacoon are expected to be fit for Ireland's summer's test against New Zealand this coming Saturday. Bellacoon was a late withdrawal ahead of the win over Australia in Sydney, while Loughman came off in that game with a head injury. They both missed the win over Japan last weekend. And that's your sports for today. Ryan, I'll be back with more tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news.
Thank you very much, Oisin. Police in the North say post-mortem examinations will take place in due course as they continue a murder investigation in Ballymena, County Antrim. 3 people who were related were discovered dead inside the property yesterday morning on the old Cullybacky Road. The Ulster Unionist Ballymena councillor Brian Thompson says the local community is devastated.
Very much shock. It is an extremely residential area and a number of elderly people in the area, which is concerning.
A Garda investigation is underway after a man was reportedly assaulted by a group in Buncrana earlier this month. The incident is understood to have happened on Saturday, July the 4th. Garda are appealing for anyone who may have witnessed the incident or who has any information that could assist the investigation to come forward. Garda Grainne Doherty made this appeal on this morning's Greg Hughes show.
We're seeking witnesses in connection with an alleged assault. This was only recently reported to us. This incident occurred on Saturday the 4th of July at around 11:30 p.m. in the area of Millbrae, Buncrana. So a man was walking back to his accommodation when he was allegedly attacked by a group of 4 to 5 males. He sustained injuries, none of which are life-threatening in nature, and we're appealing to anybody who might have witnessed this incident to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932-0540. If anybody was in that area with a dash cam between 11 p.m. and midnight on that date, we're asking them please also to make that footage available.
And the weather this evening will remain dry, warm and sunny. Highest temperatures of 23 to 27 with a light to moderate easterly breeze. Tonight will be dry and warm with clear spells. Lowest temperatures of 13 to 16 degrees with a light to moderate east to northeast breeze. Tomorrow will be dry, sunny and very warm. Highest temperatures of 24 to 27 degrees with a light to moderate easterly breeze. A look back at today's main stories. Ishke Aaron says overnight restrictions on water usage will remain in place across Donegal for the next 7 days. The utility says they are necessary in a number of locations to protect daytime supplies and allow treated water reservoirs to recharge. Restrictions will remain in place overnight at the Loch Mourne Water Supply Zone from 8pm to 8am on the Gordo Cork Falkara, Creasla, Dunfanaghy, Lettermike Award and Ballyshannon Public Water Supply. Restrictions will be in place from 10pm to 7am. Full details of the restrictions can be found on our website highlandradio.com. A meeting of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District has discussed a proposal that the old courthouse be named after Frank Grimes, who founded the chain Four Lanterns. The motion was introduced by Councillor Michael McBride, who highlighted the contribution Mr Grimes made to Letterkenny. However, officials asked that a decision on this be deferred while consultants review the marketing and branding of the old courthouse project. A Derry man who developed anorexia as a teenager says YouTube has long struggled to protect young people from harmful eating disorder content. New research by the Centre for Countering Digital Hate claims the platform is still recommending what they call thinspiration videos and extreme calorie restriction content to teenage users, despite stricter online safety rules in the UK and EU. Researchers repeated a 2024 investigation using simulated accounts of 13-year-old girls in the US, UK and Europe. While they found YouTube had expanded its eating disorder safety measures, they say those protections are still applied inconsistently. Content creator Connor Doherty says the issue with YouTube is nothing new. And a Donegal councillor says the period around the 12th of July should be treated as a major event in the county. Declan Meehan was speaking on today's Grey Q show following reports of dangerous driving, public order incidents and other issues in Downings over the weekend. He says local Gardaí were under significant pressure and did not have the resources to respond to everything happening due to the large crowds gathered in the area. Councillor Meehan believes that when major crowds are expected, a dedicated response plan should be in place. And that's all for the newsroom for now. We'll be back with news again at 7 o'clock. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, July the 14th. The death has taken place of Tommy Curley, Listafin Park, Strabane, and formerly of Bonds Glen, Dunamana. Reposing at Quigley's funeral home today from 6:30pm until 8:30pm. Funeral leaving the funeral home tomorrow at 4:30pm to St Mary's Church Melmount to repose overnight. Requiem Mass on Thursday at 10am. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred at Seamus Kerr, 25 Rosemount Gardens, Derry. Seamus will repose at his late residence tomorrow from 12pm until 9pm. The funeral cortege will leave his home on Thursday morning at 9:40am, proceeding to St Eunan's Cathedral, Derry for 10am Requiem Mass, followed by burial afterwards in St Eunan's Church Cemetery, Raphoe. The funeral mass may be viewed online via the parish webcam. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu if desired, to ICU at Nigalvin Hospital, Derry, care of any family member or Kelly's Funeral Directors, Oakfield, Raphoe. The death has taken place of Nan Ralston, formerly of Drumatoland, St Johnstown. Her remains will be reposing at Terence McClintock's funeral home at Ballyboe Convoy tomorrow from 6pm until 9pm. Funeral leaving from there on Thursday at 1:15pm, going to Ballylennon Presbyterian Church for service of Thanksgiving at 2pm, followed by burial in the family plot in St Johnston's Presbyterian Churchyard. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu if desired, to Brinley Manor Patients Comfort Fund, care of Terence McClintock Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Kevin Gallagher, 40, Abbey Villas, Kilmacrennan, formerly of Kirkneedy, New Mills. Remains reposing at his late residence today from 8pm. Removal tomorrow at 7pm going to Letterkenny Funeral Home Port Road from 8pm to 10pm. Funeral Mass will take place at 11am on Thursday in St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny. Burial afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Sean Feeney, Meander de Slough, Annagree and formerly of Port Stewart, County Derry. His remains will repose at Rorty's Funeral Home Derry Beg tomorrow from 3pm until Rosary at 8pm. Removal after the Rosary to the family home, which is strictly private to family only, please. Sean's funeral mass will take place on Friday morning at 11am in St Mary's Star of the Sea Church, Annagree, and interment afterwards in the new graveyard, Annagree. The funeral mass can be viewed on MCN Media and on the Annagree Parish Facebook page. The death has occurred of Chrissy Ennis, Capri, Ballybuffet, reposing at her home today from 7pm to 9pm and tomorrow from 11am to 9pm. Funeral leaving her home on Thursday at 10:30am for Requiem Mass at 11am in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorder. Interment in Sash O'Neill Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Cloughan Day Centre and Twin Towns Lost and Found Dogs, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Sophia Freel, Lunia, Derry Beg and formerly of Glasgow. Her remains will repose at her home in Lunia today until 8 p.m. and tomorrow from 12 noon until 8 p.m. Rosary nightly at 8 p.m. House private after the rosary and on the morning of the funeral. Sophia's funeral mass will take place on Thursday at 11 a.m. in St. Columbkill's Church, Crookvulla. Burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page and on the church webcam via MCN Media. The death has taken place of Bridie Cross, near Sandylands. Bridie will be reposing at her home, 74 St. Brecon's Park, Derry, today until 10 p.m. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow at 9:20 a.m. to St. Columb's Church, Chapel Road, for Requiem Mass at 10 a.m. Interment afterwards in Milford Cemetery, Donegal. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.